Hello?
Hello?
Hi, it's John Lasser. How are you?
John, this is Katie Woods.
Hi, Katie.
How are ya?
Good. You having a good summer?
It's been good. How's yours going?
Pretty good so far. Real busy. You said you were out of the country?
Yeah, I went to Mexico for a class for 2 weeks.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It was really great. I had a wonderful time.
Are you bilingual?
No, but I think I am.
Yeah, there's a difference. I bet you're feeling really confident right now, though, after that trip.
Yeah. People who speak Spanish actually seem to disagree with me, but somehow.
What part of Mexico?
Guadalajara.
Oh, great.
It was kind of more of the southern part down along the coast. It was nice. It was a really good trip.
Good.
One of our professors here does it every 2 years, so.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You know,
we've
been
on vacation too?
A little bit. My wife and I had our 10-year anniversary.
Great.
We have two kids, and we actually had 10 days to ourselves to celebrate, and the kids went with grandparents, and that was
nice.
Oh,
how wonderful. It probably felt like forever.
Yeah, it did. And now I'm teaching, and next month I'll be in El Paso for the whole month.
Oh, wow. What will you be doing there?
My wife is training to be a midwife, and she's going to deliver babies on the border,
mm-hmm.
and we're just going to hang out and support her. So,
oh, how neat.
Yeah, should be interesting.
Is that far from where you are right now, El Paso?
It's incredibly far. Yeah,
really?
Texas is so vast. It seems like a million miles. It'll take forever to get there. Especially driving with two kids in the back, it'll be a long trip.
Yeah, how old are your kids?
They are 13 and 9.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, we'll have a good time.
Yeah.
Camping,
that'll be nice.
Camping, exploring. You know, we've been trying to hire a bilingual school psychologist on our faculty, and it's really hard to find somebody.
I bet. We had... I went on a trip with probably about 15 students, and
mm-hmm.
probably about 3 of them spoke Spanish very well, and they didn't even think that they did, but to me, well is being able, you know, to converse how you want to and get your idea across. There was a lot of pantomiming on my part, but...
Uh-huh. It's really tough to find people, and I guess because there are so few, they're really in demand, and
mm-hmm.
it's tough. We had someone, she retired, and we just haven't been able to replace her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone just join us?
Hi, this is Aviva. How are you?
Hello. This is John.
Hi, John.
Hi, Aviva. This is Katie Woods in Nebraska.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. I'm in our conference room this morning. Sue is going to be calling in from home, so she should be doing that momentarily. I feel like I'm running our conference room.
Yeah, I'm calling from home, too.
That's nice.
Yeah, you're being the hostess.
Yes. Glad you could all make it. How are things in New Jersey?
Oh, they're fine.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting on summer vacation, which is very nice.
Good.
And what about you, John?
I was just telling Katie that I'm teaching right now, and I'm also supervising practicum students, and I'm going to spend next month in El Paso. My wife is training to be a midwife, and she's going to deliver babies on the border for a month.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. So that's our plan.
Hi, this is Sue.
Hi, Sue. It's Katie Woods.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome home.
Thanks.
Who else is on the phone?
I'm here. It's John. I'm also
Hi, John.
Calling from home today.
Good. How are you today?
Pretty good. And you?
Good.
Good.
Your summer's going well?
Yeah, real busy, but I'm enjoying it.
That's good. Is it hot?
It's so hot. I mean, we hit, you know, close to 100 degrees every day.
Yeah,
so.
I figured.
And very little rain.
Yeah, unless you're in Houston, right?
No, San Marcos.
No, I said unless you're in Houston.
Oh, unless you're in Houston, that's right. Actually, I went down there for the ADOS training last week.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you all are familiar with that.
No, what is that?
Autism Diagnostic Observational Schedule.
Oh.
It's a sort of a play-based assessment, but real standardized and structured.
Uh-huh.
And it was great. They did 2 live demonstrations
oh, cool.
of the instrument. Yeah, it was really neat.
And that was in Houston?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I guess they're getting hit pretty hard with rain these days.
Yeah,
we flew through Houston on Sunday, and there was lots of happy flyers, to say the least.
Yeah, because they were leaving.
Yeah, waiting, hanging out, enjoying the airport.
We've been in a severe drought in Central Texas.
Uh-huh.
And I was scheduled to take my students out on a ropes course on Saturday.
Oh.
We got rained out.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
unexpected.
Huh.
But welcomed.
Yeah, I bet. Well, we're waiting for Kathy and Margaret. I think that is all who will be joining us today.
Okay.
No, that's not true. Aviva.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Oh, hi. I didn't know you were on. Hi. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I didn't say hello yet.
I didn't hear the little beep come on. So.
Oh, I was here already.
Oh, so you were listening in.
Yeah. Spying.
You can do that.
Now, as far as I know, Kathy, and I'm sure Margaret's going to be on because she and I corresponded a little bit in the last couple of days.
Good.
As did Kathy, but it's just going to take me a couple of minutes to get on. I hope that they know that we're on Central Time. Mm-hmm. Quite sure they do. But anyway, Aviva, how's your summer going?
Oh, it's very nice because I'm not teaching this summer. And that is a nice pleasure to have after my first full year.
Yeah.
So I have other projects going, like having my place painted.
Oh, that's fun.
So instead of mental labor, I'm doing manual labor.
You're painting yourself?
Oh, no. Oh, God, no. You wouldn't want me to paint. No, just moving stuff around and then cleaning up. So.
Yeah. Huh.
It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, I remember the first summer that I didn't teach years ago, and it was just really... It was just, I don't know, it would just kind of freeze you up so much.
Yeah. Well, I have so much other stuff to do, including this, that I don't know how I could have done all of it.
Yeah.
And one faculty member told me that time off isn't really time off, it's just catch-up time.
Exactly. I whoever said that, I completely agree with.
Yeah.
Tell them I said that.
Okay. Perfectly.
The only advantage is you could do it in your own time and space,
Which
is nice.
Yeah. John and I were just both saying we're both working from home today. And part of that is that my kids are so busy, I have to also sort of be the taxi cab driver and, you know, coordinate their schedules and get them where they need to be and pick them up when they need to be picked up. And that doesn't, that's not that easy either. I mean, that's work of a different kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. Certainly work.
Anyway.
Less valued.
I know. It's fun, though.
Yeah.
Someone's good for stuff like that. Well, I think we could probably go ahead and get started, at least to touch base on where things are at right now. When Margaret gets on, she had some thoughts. And, in fact, we had a conversation a month or so ago with the steering committee, which was Kathy and Margaret and some of my graduate students and myself. And we talked conceptually about sort of how to make sure the modules sort of fit together. And that's the kind of thing that we could talk about today as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when she gets on, I'm sure maybe even start there. Somebody just joined us.
This is Margaret.
Hi, Margaret. We were just talking about you.
Hi.
Good timing. I think everybody's on now but Kathy line. So we have John and Aviva and... Katie Woods, a graduate student who works with me here at Nebraska.
Okay. Hello. Hi, Margaret.
Now, Aviva, I appreciate your willingness to spend some time talking today. Ken Greff was the person who is going to be taking the lead and being the contact person for your group. However, when we weren't able to get this conference call scheduled earlier this month, he left the country.
Right.
And we wanted to make sure that piece continues to move forward. We didn't want to let that go for the rest of the summer. So I appreciate your willingness to do this and step in.
No problem.
It's really helpful. Did you all get the attachments that I sent yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, great. I just started saying, Margaret, that we had a conference call about a month ago with the steering committee, and we had talked at a conceptual level about how the modules might hang together. At the same time, some of the groups have been making progress in the development of their materials. For example, John, I know your group has begun already putting together a structure for those, and I don't know how much work has actually been done on any of the pieces, but that would be something that we'd like to have an update on today as well.
Sure.
So that being said, we certainly do not want to move backwards. And we want to make sure that, you know, you feel supported in the work that you're doing. But at the same time, I think we still need to make sure that there's clarity in the approach that we're all taking. So that's just these periodic check-ins, I think, are going to be helpful to us that way. And Aviva, where's your group at? Has anything happened at all in terms of the work that your group has been doing?
Well, what we've developed is an outline of what we're going to be doing, and we're divvying up each section of the outline, like who's going to do which part. We have six sections, and most of the sections have been divvied up. I just have to get in touch with Kay and see what the two sections that are left over, which section she would prefer to do.
Okay.
And so we're okay with that.
Is there an outline that somebody could share with myself so I can take a look at how it's being organized?
Sure. I could forward it to you.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And remind me of what group that is. The
Family School Collaboration.
That's right. So Family School Collaboration, you have your outline,
mm-hmm.
and you have some of the responsibilities already delegated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're in the process of making sure that all the pieces are going to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Excellent.
Yeah, but I also have a couple of questions about it, so I assume we could get to that later.
Okay.
Because there's some clarification I think we would need.
Okay, great. Well, we can get to that in really just a few minutes, I think. The preschool group... John, since you're on the phone, why don't you go ahead and speak for yourself on that?
Sure. I think that there was a little bit of lag time once we were, you know, communicating by email and trying to divide things up. Katie's been really helpful. Thank you, Katie, for being a strong presence and reminding us that we need to stay on task. And I think that the outline that we shared with you is probably represents sort of where we are now. And Katie drafted a PowerPoint that is a work in progress, but is really good as a piece. And using the sample module that you sent is sort of what we're patterning this after. So I think that that'll help with the consistency so that they'll all sort of hang together. And I think now we have, let's see, I'm just sort of counting in my head, about five people working on this. We've assigned different parts. And our goal is to finish our independent work by August, so that we can put it all together, take a look at it, revise as needed, and then have something for September.
Great.
So we're excited about that.
Excellent.
And we have basically three evidence-based programs for preschool years. And we've divided those up. And Amanda has joined us, and she works in preschool settings, is going to provide case studies for us, which is really helpful.
Oh, neat. Oh, that's a nice idea. Great. Okay. Well, I appreciate getting your outline, too. That's real helpful. As far as the other groups are concerned, then, Kathy, did you just join us?
I did. I'm sorry. I'm late. I got called into a grant meeting today, so I'm back and forth, but I'm here as much as I can be.
Okay, good.
Our group?
Sure, why not?
Well, we haven't been as productive as all of you are sounding. This is Gloria Miller and I, and we're the parent training group.
Mm-hmm.
And we are actually meeting next week to really work on this, and we apologize. Gloria has been doing the NASP, her application for their program, and she's just been really, really busy. I can just tell you a little bit, ours is a little bit different because we're struggling with kind of what we want to do with it, if that makes sense. Because parent training is, it's programs a lot of times and looking at, you know, parent management training. And we've kind of been thinking about the multi-tiered model, how to implement that, how to help people think that through in their practices in the schools. We also want to bring in the importance of community agency collaboration and working in a collaborative way with other kinds, because school mental health professionals can't do all of that as far as that multi-tiered model. So we, I guess I really would like to do some real listening about how you all are operationalizing this into a module form. We are, you know, we've taken programs and we're kind of looking at how they fit into the multi-tiered model, more universal, those kinds of things.
Are you focusing on the evidence-based models that were identified in the literature?
To some extent, yes, which is parent management, the ones from the article.
Yeah.
Yes. To some extent, we are, but also there's some other data sources. And I did, that was a question I had. Do we absolutely stick with those, or can we look at other data sources or summaries like SAMHSA has, you know, they have their exemplary programs and that kind of thing, and the blueprint programs that weren't necessarily mentioned in the article. So we've been looking at other sources also.
Okay, well, let's talk about that in just a minute. What about the parent? Did you combine with the parent education focus?
I have not. I don't know if Gloria has. Is the parent education group here today?
Pardon me?
Are they here today on the conference call?
We don't have. I thought that we were combining the parent training and parent education. I thought that was our decision.
Oh, if it was, I missed that. Because that was my understanding. You know what? I missed that if that was the case.
Does anybody else remember that?
Yes, I thought we combined them because they were so close to one another.
And that's something. You know what? We just haven't, Gloria and I haven't done what we need to do. So I think I'll just be honest with that. We haven't sat down and really done what we need to do with this.
Well, I think that was, they were real close, and definitionally there was some overlap in terms of even the way, enough overlap, let me say, with the way that it was presented in that miniseries that we thought that at a, you know, sort of conceptually it made sense.
I am so fine with that. And that actually, to me, parent education is almost the universal tier, if we're still looking at that multi-tiered model, and also includes academics, which the parent training doesn't, at least the programs that are cited and the research, it's more teaching parenting skills and family interventions and family therapy and those kinds of domains, like it's social learning, family therapy, problem-solving skill training, those kinds of, Kasdan's work, those kinds of pieces. And so it makes great sense to me to combine those and almost in that multi-tiered framework.
Yeah.
And also looking at, if you look at the multi-tiered model as being academics and behavior, it allows both of those kinds of thinking.
Right. I think you're exactly right. The programs that they identified were Aware Parenting and Reading Made Easy Education. So, back for the May 1st conference call, I did send around a summary of domains that came out of that mini-series. It just sort of lays out how they defined each of these areas and what the programs were. And I could send that again if that would be helpful to people.
I think I have that.
Okay. No.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Okay. No, but we will do that.
Let's come back to your question about, there's two things I think that would be helpful for us to talk about next. One is the multi-tier model, the three-tier model, and I'm going to hold off on that for a minute because I want us to talk about that as a group, okay, rather than struggling with it within any one module or domain.
Mm-hmm.
And, Margaret, I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit about that in just a minute.
Sure.
Second, as far as other programs to bring into the materials, I think if there's evidence to support the efficacy of these models, that's fine. We do have to be careful about that. I think we're responsible and need to be accountable for providing information on programs that really do show some promise as evidence-based.
Mm-hmm.
So I like your idea of looking at the SAMHSA criteria, the blueprint. I don't know all of what they've done in the area of parent education, parent training. I just don't know.
Well, you know, Gloria and I, when we were talking about this, and we talked about Jenny Harvey too, it's kind of, if you look at that multi-tiered model piece, the very the more intensive programs, and one of them that they talk about too is they're more therapy based, if that makes sense. It's kind of where that, but also that's people need to understand what those programs do, like functional family therapy and multisystemic family therapy, what those do, because those are, even though they may not be implemented in schools, they are what our most severely impacted families may need or pieces. So I don't know where we draw that line as far as school or that blurring of distinction.
Yeah.
That's where, again, with family, with parent training, we, as Gloria and I, when we have talked, which has been, again, we haven't had this thorough discussion, and we are meeting next week, we promised, after this phone call, to really think about that, whether we limit it to school-based practice, whether we say this is really all part of the continuum, and that we need to know what exists there for parent training at that very top level.
Well, we do, this is family-school partnerships.
Yeah.
And it comes out of, you know, that strand of the Futures Conference.
Uh-huh.
The SPQ miniseries defined that as one of the inclusionary criteria, that it had to have some school-based component. That's probably why multisystemic therapy, for example, did not show up in their review.
Right. That was my sense.
Yeah, it wasn't school-based.
Right.
The purpose of these modules, again, is really dissemination and professional preparation, in large part, for implementation purpose, training and implementation purposes, I believe. That's the main emphasis of what we're trying to do, is provide tools and strategies in sufficient detail that people really could, with the appropriate supports and mechanisms within, you know, sort of a self-directed professional development framework, begin to practice, use
mm-hmm.
these strategies in practice. It's really sort of to push forward an agenda around practice. So we would never expect a school psychologist to look at a module and read about multisystemic family therapy and go out and practice.
Right, right.
But
that you would expect a school professional in their realm of practice to
about it.
To make good diagnostic understanding of a family's needs and say this kind of program might be what you need, or the, you know, you hear what I'm saying, you know, helping
yeah, very
them
much.
Access and have the knowledge and the understanding of what that was.
Yeah, as you put your outline together, then in terms of developing your module, I would recommend maintaining the primary focus on the tools and strategies that practitioners can be using in their own practice, with maybe some information on what more involved families might need and how to assess that and how to refer out. But again, you know, these modules are meant to provide some tools.
Uh-huh. And that's actually what we how we'd been leaning, but these questions came up as we really thought about that. And some of the world out there is shifting a little bit. You know, there are school-based clinics, and you know, some of this is blurring a little bit as the world is changing. And so, that's helpful. And that's kind of where we were going, but it's helpful.
Okay. Does that make sense? Anybody else have any thoughts about that?
This is Margaret. I like the idea of having a small piece in there about what kinds of therapies do take place. I think it's a great idea because we are going to make recommendations, or we are going to, school psychologists do that. When you're at the intensive level and they see a need, I think that understanding is really important. And I don't think there's a lot about that in any of our training literature. I like the idea of the multisystemic, because it should be wraparound services anyway,
mm-hmm.
So that schools are providing information with parent permission to therapists and vice versa.
And part of it, I think, is as we're living RTI a little bit more, is trying to be more prescriptive with families in a more wraparound way. Resources are so shrinking, in at least in our community. It's very difficult to help families access services. So when you help them access services, you want to help them access the most prescriptive and beneficial and helpful services, not just say go to therapy, but, you know,
absolutely.
We think of this evidence-based program, of which all our mental health centers are trained in, might be most beneficial. You know, in other words, being a more precise, knowledgeable referrals and collaboration with our agencies.
Yeah, and that's the key, I think, is knowing where to access those services and not suggesting that school psychologists
right.
to deliver them just because, you know, they're not readily available maybe in the community. We have to make sure that we're very clear about our scope of practice as well.
Susan, let me, maybe this is for the group, because something else, as Gloria and I have talked, and it's coming up in our district, because we really are trying to implement more of this and shift kind of the practice model with our school psychs and social workers, is where would you define for me what you think the scope of our practice is? Would it be doing parent management training? I mean, that, such as Barclay and some of those people have envisioned it in Kasdan. That's something we haven't traditionally done in our district, and I think a lot of school psychs haven't. You know, actually doing parent management trainings for students, you know, parents of students who have ADHD and who are in self-contained behavior development courses or classes. I'm thinking it is, but I guess I'd like to hear from other people, because if we write that in, you know, how are other people seeing that?
Well, I can comment on that briefly. I think that there are a lot of regional differences in the practice of school psychology, and in Central Texas, it's unfortunate that it's primarily an assessment role, in a real traditional kind of assessment role, and that we see part of our job as trainers of school psychologists is to impact the field by broadening things. And that's something that kind of parent training that you're talking about is something that I think could be the role of a school psychologist, but I know that in reality in Central Texas it's not.
Well, if you think about the NASP domains of practice, education is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see why parents would be excluded. I think few of us do it, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have it as continue to have it
mm-hmm.
as one of our goals and one of our expanding practices that really needs to be done, especially if you're talking about a response to intervention model.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Our students are trained in that in our clinic. Our EDS students often do parent training. And
do they do a specific program, Sue, or?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They do PCIT.
Okay.
In the past, we've done training around Barclay's parent training program.
Uh-huh.
For Hannah McMahon. In fact, that's when I was at Utah, there was quite a bit of emphasis on parent training as well with Bill Jensen there. And so I think it's definitely within the scope of practice. I think in terms of practitioner implementation, clearly there's going to be differences just because of all the demands placed on practitioners in the field, and that is, you know, probably a regional, even within regions, within districts, I'm sure there's a lot of variability.
Yes.
But I think that's clearly within the scope of what NASP would endorse as a role and function of a school psychologist. That's different than multi-systemic family.
Absolutely.
Therapy. Okay.
Absolutely. Well, but we've looked at Bob McMahon's program here, and it's very intense. It's like 10 sessions with one or two families. You know, it's very intense as far as looking at shifting our role to that kind
of practice. I mean, I think what we're trying to do is just get the tools out there.
Uh-huh.
So if I could move us along a little bit, Margaret, can you talk a little bit about what your group is doing and also about the three-tier model and your thoughts on that?
Sure. We're the parent involvement model, and I'm in the same boat as Kathy. Gloria Miller's on my committee as well, and she's been working on her NASP accreditation, and Lisa Persinger's on our committee, and she's been relocating at LSU in New Orleans. And so we're really, we haven't made any progress at all. The outline that I think John's group provided was great, and I think we'll probably model ours after that and assign pieces. The graduate student who's going to work with me just finished getting her internship together and will be back in another week and is ready to work on it. So I'm looking towards being able to do a lot of our stuff in July, hopefully, after I talk to Gloria and Lisa. So that's kind of where we are. We work together on the definition that the piece that I sent along earlier, and I guess it was resent out yesterday. So that's as far as we've gotten as far as assigning our modules. We each are doing one of the evidence-based interventions, and that's all we've done to this point. So
you've sent out some materials to the team?
We have not. We put together our definition, which I sent to you, and then we've already decided on who's doing what EBI, but we haven't talked specifically about the overview and those kinds of things. And we're going to be, I'll contact everyone by email next week. Hopefully people are available to be able to commit to that and target working a lot of that in July and August.
Right. Okay.
I don't really know where they're at on their timelines, but that's my intention, and my students' intention is to work with us on that as well.
Great. Now, you've also, and Kathy, too, when we talked a month ago, we talked about a three-tier conceptualization as maybe a framework for thinking about family-school partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And I did forward the example of the three-tier model that you sent to me, Margaret,
mm-hmm.
and everybody should have received that.
Mm-hmm. It's a PowerPoint slide, and it says family school partnerships. Really, it's probably, you've probably all seen it many times.
Yeah.
And it's adapted from David Tilley's slide. I just, rather than writing a whole definition for us, I thought it would be best to kind of look at this and maybe conceptualize it together. But my idea was basically what Kathy had talked about, where you see, if you have that in front of you, you can see to the left are academic systems and to the right are behavioral systems.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking that within the framework of how parents and schools, families and schools partner in supporting academic and behavioral systems together. So you can kind of look at that from left to right, and then we can look at it from the three tiers of universal interventions and then targeted group interventions and intensive. And so I think within each module, you know, if we had this overall conceptualization out there, within each module, some of the EBIs may be attached to intensive or targeted groups. I know in ours we have a targeted group intervention for math. And perhaps in the parent education area there's some more universal or parent management kinds of things that could be universal. But perhaps within each module, identifying where this would be in a three-tier model. And I, when we were talking about parent involvement and we took the definitions that were in SPQ, looking at Epstein's six categories, really looking at that as at the core level, those are things that parents do to support their children and how schools get involved in helping with supporting that. So that other document that was sent along, although it says parent involvement definition, on the first page, if you look down to where Epstein's six categories are, you could look at, for instance, number three, learning at home, practices occurring at home in which parents interact, monitor, assist their children in educationally related activities. All six of those actually could be at the core level where it's basic parent, how schools work with parents to help provide those kinds of supports. And then on the second page of that definition was also included, and that shows the Epstein's model at the base. And then if you look at that second page, the triangle, concern identified and student at risk, so that strategic and intensive level kind of gets to Christensen's definition where originally perhaps the parent involvement is initiated by the school as the expert saying, you know, they're not meeting expectations in this area or behaviorally or whatever, and that optimally evolves into a partnership that you're working together on. And those would probably be more at that mid and top tier. So does that seem clear, or?
Yeah, it's a helpful framework.
And I think we all have, you know, we have very few EDI interventions, and some of them, I think, are the universal. But I think it really would be helpful to put a map together at the beginning of this whole set of modules and say, these are areas that they're identified, but look at all the ones that aren't. You know, we have some huge holes here, and, you know, what might be promising. And it would also guide research, I think. I know we probably don't want to get to that. But.
Yeah, no, that would be great. I'm looking at this, Margaret, at the same time as I'm looking at something that Kathy sent me a while ago, and I apologize because I didn't forward this to everybody, I don't think.
Was that the Cherry Creek?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is absolutely great. And that's why I thought, why?
Is that Kathy talking or Margaret?
It's Margaret.
Okay. I'm listening.
It's great, Kathy.
And what they did in Colorado is define the multi-tiered model for parent school or family school partnership at each of those three tiers. And so there's a list of the tier one universal opportunities that includes things like communication systems, parent involvement in decision making at the building level, parenting classes, even some of the sort of prerequisite conditions, the atmosphere and, you know, sort of attitudes that we have and the shared responsibility for educational kind of outcomes that we talk about in some of our earlier modules on sort of the approach to working with families. The targeted opportunities would include parent counseling, support groups, you know, more personalized, more intentional kinds of opportunities around targeted issues, correct, Kathy?
Yes, and actually this was done, just a brief snapshot of how this happened, was a group of, we pulled together a task force, a parent-school partnership task force from our mental health staff. We have about 100 psychs and social workers, and this was really just a result of doing a lot of general reading and also brainstorming. I would love to revise, and that was done, I think it was 2004,
right,
might be the date on that.
Yeah.
So it's old thinking. I would love, I've learned so much by looking at the modules and just being part of this group, to include more like the collaborative problem solving with more explicit kinds of pieces. But part of our goal with this was practice, was how can a school mental health professional be a leader in developing this kind of practice, which includes parents as a, you know, a system-wide thinking, and then being able to have explicit kinds of programs and system. But it was more of that best practices kind of thinking.
Looking at it now with the lens of these modules that articulate evidence-based practices, that would be a nice addition here, because now, you know, there's good research supporting some of these practices.
Yes.
We could tie in the evidence-based interventions at each of these tiers. Not to say there are others, some of these would still be retained, clearly, especially at the universal level. But it would really tighten it in a way that would be more research-based. I think that's a great idea. Just out of curiosity, where would you put like a more intensive behavioral consultation with parents?
I was thinking, and, you know, I don't think I have that right in front of me. I have to, I'm thinking that would be targeted.
That's kind of what I think, too.
Yeah. I mean, when the universal, I mean, as we're kind of living this, you know, many, many parents benefit just from information and, you know, parent-teacher conferences and those newsletters that go home, and they're doing what they need to do. And the ones who's children's behavior is struggling, the parents of students with ADHD, the students who are suspended or, you know, starting to be identified as SED, those parents need more support. They need more targeted intervention to have their child succeed in school. And to me, that's where the collaborative consultation piece really fits.
I'd love to see that work, if that could be shared with everyone.
It really is good, and I apologize for not getting Kathy's permission to send it forward. Kathy, is that something that you could do? Or
I can send, yes, I can. I mean, again, we in Cherry Creek are so trying to integrate this. And a lot of these are just ideas, but they're gaining favor, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of being able to, this has all been new thinking, to put it out there as clearly as we're trying to do it. But I would love to do that, and I would love to incorporate the evidence-based pieces. So I can send whatever's helpful. I'd be happy to do that. You know, I'm not sure I have everyone's email list, so if I just resend it to you, could you pop that out to everyone?
That would be great.
Okay, I will do that.
And then what Margaret suggests is that we sort of put a map together at the beginning as an advanced organizer maybe, or a way of thinking about it. Now, we have to be careful. I mean, this three-tiered model has not really, as a model for family-school partnerships, hasn't been validated as such. But I think the pieces have been, is what we're now saying. So it's a conceptual framework at this point with the evidence-based practices built into it. If we approach this and maybe put, I'm thinking, even if we could just help you revise this, Kathy.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Pages I'm looking at in a way that makes some sense for everybody, we could then put that at the beginning of our maybe every one of our modules,
mm-hmm.
and then have a little section just specifying where the different practices within that module fit within this overarching framework. For example, the one that we did here at Nebraska on consultation, we would present, you know, we could replicate the framework and say, now this type of work really fits well at a targeted level. How do people feel about that?
Sounds great.
I think that would be a nice part to join the modules and see kind of a cohesive picture throughout all of them.
Yeah. I mean, and that would be nice, having that thread throughout, as Katie's saying. So having, you know, that kind of continuity built in would really hold them together.
I will say, having worked with practitioners, it's given them a language and a framework to implement parent-school partnerships and a communication venue, because part of what we're trying to do is implement it in the schools. And it's a very different world when you're talking to a principal. And I think by doing this, it would really lend credence to it. I like it. That'd be very powerful.
Let's keep that. After you send that to me, Kathy, I'll send it around, and we'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
I don't want this to deter anybody from continuing to make progress on their pieces, because I think that there's still consistency in how we're talking about organizing each of the modules. This would be something that would provide a context for it, though, that we can add later on. Does that make sense to people?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Could I make one more comment?
Sure.
In the RTI model, as you all probably know, that strategic level is usually what they call a standard protocol response, where
mm-hmm.
there's already something existing, and if a student has difficulty in academics or behavioral, they're automatically plugged into a certain kind of group, whether it's for academic, like math or reading, or whether it's behavioral into social skills training or something. And then the intensive level is more when they're at extreme risk and you're kind of probably working with them individually, more unique things. The way I can see that working with parent assistants goes back to what we were talking about earlier on parent behavior management groups, where school psych may have that kind of group that's ongoing, and if a child starts having some issues, then the parent will be offered to join that group, and that could be more that targeted group intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they continue to have more severe problems, more assessment, and maybe work with that parent more intensively at that individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's where it kind of supports the idea that school psychologists get involved with working with parents in groups, whether mm-hmm. it's with ADHD or behavioral problems or learning how to tutor them in reading or those kinds of things.
In fact, you know, that's ironic that you say that, Margaret, because we have a grant right now, and that's what we're doing is some group-level consultation with parents and teachers.
I wondered about if that was good. That's great.
Yeah, and then, but I could see, you know, we haven't built this into the model for this particular research grant, but I could see, you know, if and in fact, we do sort of do this as a process. If individual kids aren't responding to the interventions that are being put into place at home and at school, then continued problem solving goes on with one individual parent and teacher as they continue to refine the interventions. So it does sort of begin to, it kind of, that line between targeted and individualized or intensive is a little bit blurred in some areas, I think. But I think that sounds excellent. And we can continue to sort of, I think everybody's thinking about this in a very similar way, so we can continue to operationalize this as part of our work so it really makes sense. And I think it's real exciting. So so what we'll do is, Kathy, you'll send me some of these documents, and I'll forward those on to the rest of the group.
Okay.
And in the meantime, everyone will continue making progress on the outlines and the material development that they've already started. As far as your work, Kathy, in the parent education, parent training piece, you said you were struggling a little bit with sort of getting your head around how that three-tier model would fit, play out maybe. Is that something you, I mean, given this discussion that we're going to try and make that a constant across the board, does that help?
I think it does help. This whole discussion has been helpful, partly also the piece around what is appropriate for school-based practice, how does that all fit. And I just was checking the School Site Quarterly pieces, and they actually have multi-systemic family therapy.
Okay.
In here has one of their, you know, one of the evidence-based. So I think, yes, it's been very helpful. And I think we just need to think this through and what is the content of the module that we want to include.
If you put things together, everybody, don't hesitate to send them to me and we can kind of look at them together. That's what this is about. I don't want people to feel like, you know, you're sort of out there on your own and then you have to produce something come September. Okay?
Is it Joe?
John,
I'm sorry. I mean, you said you had an outline. Was that sent out to us? And I apologize if it was.
I think, Sue, you sent that out to everyone, right?
I did.
Okay.
You
can tell what my life's been like. not to get together. So I will look for that. I bet I have it somewhere because I'm really conscious of trying to make these consistent.
It would have come around June 9th or 10th.
Okay, I'll look.
That's when John sent it to me.
Okay.
Eva, I want to get back to you because you said you had some questions.
Who, me?
What are some of the questions that you're...
Of the questions I have is the incorporation of professional barriers and the diversity. I would, and the diversity barriers, I'm beginning to think that in every single one of our modules, they're not going to be that dissimilar.
Right.
And those were two categories that we had in our outline. So I was just wondering how that would fit in. I'm wondering if we should all develop it individually for our modules and then look and see what kind of similarities or differences that come up with that, because I tend to think that they're all going to be relatively the same.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the questions that I had about, I know that we had it separate and then we said to put it together in the module, but I'm just wondering how exactly that's going to fit in.
What do people think about that? Because you're absolutely right, Aviva. We talked about trying to blend those across modules rather than separately.
Mm-hmm.
But you make a very good point. Katie, in the module that you worked on, which one did you work on here at Nebraska?
I did the parent consultation one.
Okay, that's what I thought. We didn't really address barriers much, did we?
I think we did. We did in a way more of helpful hints or kind of key points to keep in mind. So I don't think we specifically said this might be a barrier, this might be a barrier, but kind of recommended additional practices to keep in mind when those barriers might come up.
Was that specific to consultation?
Yes, I want to say so.
I have two thoughts. One thing we could do is I'll go back and look at that module and see how that was laid out. to see if that's something that is a useful framework that we can make specific to the practice. For example, in conducting parent training groups, you're going to have some unique kinds of barriers. The family-school collaboration, though, Aviva, I think that those might be more general, generic kinds of barriers. Things like, I mean, that would be relevant to other modules as well, but other modules will have things that are more specific, like in parent training groups, finding a time that's conducive mm-hmm. for all parents is going to be a challenge. Whereas, you know, in general, family school collaboration, communicating, getting a letter sent home and, you know, all the appropriate languages would be a more generic kind of barrier that still relates to preschool and parent education and parent involvement, but there are some that are more specific within those modules. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we could do is another thought I have is generating, before we develop anything, just generating some lists of, and I don't want to get too caught up on barriers. And I really, my approach is more on creating contexts and conditions for successful collaboration and mm-hmm. not thinking about all the problems and how to circumvent. I mean, obviously you have to be cognizant of those kinds of things, or that would, you know, be naive. But I think we often get really caught up in that, and it sort of disables us. So I don't want to go overkill on this, but we could come up with a list of challenges, and as a group look at that list and decide what the best way, it might make more sense to put that in one of the early modules that's already developed on the overview of family school partnerships, or on the prerequisite conditions for setting up effective partnerships. The one that, I can't remember the name of it offhand, but we talk about approach, attitude, atmosphere.
The process variable?
Right, that one.
Uh-huh.
Those are really more general, not really advanced organizers, but they are general overview kinds of modules that set the tone and set the stage. And maybe they would go in something in a module like that rather than each of the individual ones, and retain the emphasis in each of the individual ones on ones that are more specific to that module the way we've done it with the parent consultation one.
That sounds good to me.
So we'll
I like the idea of putting it in the process variables one.
Okay.
So there'll be a general, incorporated in one of the general modules, there'll be an overview of the general barriers and the general processes that are necessary for this.
Right.
And then in the individual models, we'll be a little bit more specific.
Right. And now for the family school collaboration one, I'm not sure how those are going to differ.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'd have to see your outline, I think, to see how you're thinking about putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
Family school collaboration, what are the modules that, what are the, let me take a quick look here. Family school collaboration. Here we go. These evidence-based practices, that domain, are school-based family literacy program, school home notes. Yeah, there are some that would be unique to, for example, setting up school home notes, to, you know, doing some of these interventions. One of the keys on that one, I think, is that the emphasis on dialogue and communication and two-way back and forth monitoring is a real important piece of all those programs. So, you know, things can be said about challenges associated with that kind of a structure.
Mm-hmm.
The general barriers like language, like differing values.
Yeah, but those would be general, really, too.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Those would be general, and we'd incorporate those into the one of the earlier modules.
This is Margaret. I was wondering, too, within our modules, if we, rather than, we could call it barriers, but it would be something more like an alert to the school psychologist in their problem solving for this particular EBI, please consider, you know, this. So, for instance, the one I'm doing is reciprocal peer tutoring with parent involvement. Do they have the training? You know, so maybe one of the barriers might be they don't know how to do the math problem, or they don't know how to tutor, or that, you know, pay special attention to these potential areas. So as part of your problem solving, find out if the parent needs more training for this.
I like that.
So
I
kind
like
of
that.
An alert to the school psychologist.
And I think with something like that, we would word it as kind of a key figure, you know, assess parent level of, you know, implementing interventions, like you had said. So kind of a key point to consider would be looking at that.
Right, and acceptability, so social validity kind of thing.
That's great.
Yeah.
So skills necessary to implement, for parents to implement.
Right.
Kind of heads-up points. That's a good idea.
Yeah, heads-up.
Yeah, I like that. How did we frame it for the parent consultation one, Katie? Do you remember? Just tips?
I don't remember. I want to say we just did slides like that, key points for implementation, something along those lines.
We can
look back at that and see.
Yeah, just so, and we can have some consistency across the modules.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, now Ashley Rolk is not on the call right now. She's another graduate student who's been quite involved in this process. She's traveling today, but she will listen to this tape. We are having it taped. And it will be on our website. And so she is going to summarize these notes. And I can send them around to people. And in fact, we post them on a website. I'm going to give you that website address in just a minute. But these are important things for us to kind of keep track of. So just so you know, it will be in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And should we include this in the modules we're developing? Or is that something you will get out to us?
Well,
the actual barriers.
Key points and tips and that sort of thing.
I'm sorry, what?
Are you talking about the key tips? Or
yes.
The,
so I'm just thinking as we get ready to really look at ours.
Yes. You should each be thinking now about building that piece into your module.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. What else? I'm looking at the time. I know we have the phone until I think I cut off that last time, so I didn't want that to happen again. But
I am going to have to go, Sue, shortly because of this grant meeting, but I can come back if you all think you're going to talk some more.
I don't think we need to talk a lot more.
Okay.
What do other people think? Are you feeling okay about this?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Oh, Aviva, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm just thinking about any other barriers that I'm thinking about with the outline.
And, you know, I wonder if as we come up with our barriers specific to each one, should we send those to you, Aviva, to see if they might be something that you would include as general? Or, I mean, I don't...
He's not gonna...
Yeah, I would like to see... I would like us to develop a list of general barriers because the other thing is with the... the system issues that we would need to address. I'm also wondering if that should not be in a general section, like, for instance, what we discussed about, let me see where that is, hang on one second, the seven stages of collaboration, would that be in specifically the parent collaboration model, or is that part of the entire system and a more general aspect of it?
The seven stages of collaboration?
Yeah, it's awareness, exploration, trust building, a collegial consensus, commitment, and then collaboration. That's one model. There's actually two different ones that I found.
Yeah. Well...
So, I mean, if we put it... You know, I'm wondering if... See, what I'm thinking is if we put it in an individual model and then we put everything, all the modules all together, I'm wondering if some of this stuff wouldn't shift to a different part of it. Because it may be specific to the collaboration, but it may be a more general one. So maybe as we develop our module, then all our modules, we would have to look at them and see which aspects would really apply to everybody, or they are really more specific to one specific module.
A lot of the ones that I'm looking at that sheet right now that has the definitions of collaboration,
mm-hmm.
a lot of what's on that sheet is really more of a general overview.
Yeah.
Now, go back and take a look at the module that we have on an overview of family school partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And you might see some of it in there, or you might want more of it in there.
Mm-hmm.
But each of these, my thinking anyway, is that each of these specific modules, I mean, it's hard to say without seeing something. So,
right. Mm-hmm.
But they really need to be on practice, on skill building, practice. You know, again, I feel like I'm being redundant now, but how to use what the literature has shown to be effective practices in our work as school psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
So key points for implementing, case study kinds of things, activities on the evidence-based models of practice. That's the emphasis of the these domain-specific modules.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the family school collaboration was a little trickier, I know, because it is, you know, very consistent with the language that we use at a much more general level. But if you look at activities that involve communication, two-way, I don't know how much we did on communication in that early module.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look at that. I just don't remember. Katie, I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I'm thinking we did – well, I'm thinking about the parent consultation, what we did, communication practices, like open-ended questions, a very brief overview.
What about in the overview one that Jenny did?
I don't think we touched on communication practices.
That would be a big part of yours, I think, Aviva.
Mm-hmm.
So much of what, if you look at SCLS like quarterly miniseries and the summary that I put together for that May 1st conference call, a lot of those have to do with dialogue about educational programming, two-way communication, how to monitor children's school performance. That's sort of the crux of that piece.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, you know, home notes is going to be part of yours. Communication, how to communicate effectively with families would be part of yours. And then those evidence-based programs. But I'm open, Aviva, so look at that earlier modules.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think some of what you put in your definitional page needs to go in there, let's talk about how to do that. All of this is very much a work in progress.
Well, then what I'm thinking is maybe we should just put in what we think and then edit it later.
Move it around.
You know, rather have more than less.
Right.
Put in what we think is applicable.
I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then just cut, because it's easier to cut than to add.
Yeah.
So
or move things
even
around.
If initially we overlap, then we could check the overlap with the introductory modules,
okay.
And then, you know, just maybe refer back to that rather than just cut what we put in.
Sounds
because
great.
I think that would probably flow more readily, and then cutting is always easier.
Sounds great. Okay.
Sue, I just wanted to throw one thing out. This is Kathy again. I know the NASP proposals are due. This was very exciting work, and I think it's really innovative. And I just wonder, does it make sense, or maybe you could do this just through the internal workings of NASP, to offer a session on this at NASP next year, just to let people know what we're doing and that this effort exists. And I don't know. I was just thinking about that because I know we're working on another proposal.
I think that's a great idea, but are we ready?
I don't know. You always have to write those.
Yeah, we are. We are today. I mean, I think this is great work.
I do too. I mean, it's really exciting work, and I do think it's shifting the practice. And being, you know, I supervise school psychologists. It's a new way of thinking for a lot of them. But all of them are liking it. I won't say all of them. 90% are liking it. And I just think it might be an information sharing session or a chance for dialogue or to, I don't know what it might be, but I just thought about that, a way to get it out there a little bit.
And if we do it on a three tier, it goes right along with a theme.
Mm-hmm.
The 4 R's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember, Sue, I don't remember, I don't know if you remember, after we had had our, I don't remember if it was the May 1st one, but we had talked about maybe doing a mini skills session once all our materials had gotten together and kind of walking through each of the modules. And I think that would be a great place to talk about the different tiers and what interventions might be applicable for each and different types of students.
Mm-hmm. It's due July 5th.
That always seems so early to me.
And I don't know if we're ready to do a mini skills series or just a, you know, what are the little 50-minute kind of
paper?
Yeah, or
maybe start the paper presentation next year, and the following year do a mini skills.
Mm-hmm.
We'd also talked about, you know, taking some of this to different states, and gosh, we probably should go to CDSPP and present there.
Gloria and I are presenting at our state association.
Excellent.
I could send a copy. I because I'm doing two other proposals, I don't think I could commit to trying to get another one done by July 5th, but I can send what, actually Gloria wrote it up, for that we're presenting in October at our state association on this.
Uh-huh. That would be great if you have.
I'll have to see. If not, I'll have her send it to you, Sue. She'll be back in town this week.
Yes, Sue, so one of the things I'm thinking is maybe we could do a 50-minute thing just on the process and the general outline.
Uh-huh.
And let them know, just an informational thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're informing them of the process and what we're doing and whatever, and just let them know that the following year there'll be a mini-skills thing.
That feels a little bit better to me, I think.
Yeah, because I don't think we're ready to present.
I would agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least
but
I don't. Let
really
me speak
to.
For myself. I am not ready.
No.
But I think to let them know, you know, the process and how we're doing it. And what
well, and it's a follow-up to Futures, which I
yeah,
think
exactly.
NASP and APA are all trying to endorse,
mm-hmm.
that we are doing work around this.
Exactly. But a 50-minute thing would be appropriate at this point.
And I think I'm going to try to see if we can get on the agenda for CDSPP, which is the Council of Directors of School Psych Programs for Doctoral Level Training Programs, because they need to know about this too.
Mm-hmm.
I presented at TSP a year and a half ago. It's time we get into the other programs. With the NASP, the only problem with me at NASP is I'm probably already overcommitted. So you can only be on two papers.
Right.
You know, I could help put a proposal together quite easily, but if it might get to a point where I'm going to have to take my name off of some things. And SRCD, which is the Society for Research on Child Development, is that same week in Boston, and I have some things at SRCD that I'm doing too. So that's my dilemma. But we can work through that. And the goal is to get the word out. So.
Mm-hmm.
We can put something together and submit it and it gets accepted, then we can figure out the details of who can deliver the message. So are people interested in that? Because I'd be happy to put something together.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of proposals into NASP right now, so I don't know if I can commit at this point. I guess
but
it depends on the outcome of those.
Yeah. And that's just the name, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
So at least let me go back and look at the proposal outline and see what, I mean, it doesn't entail a whole lot. It's a few pages, and we've all done hundreds of these. So let me look at that. I'll communicate via email on that, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Anything else? Great.
Did we set the end of September as the due date?
I think we had talked about, what did we talk about? Who can help me remember that?
I think the beginning of September, around the 1st.
Yeah, the first part of September, if that works.
Yeah.
And then I think we do the very best we can. And if we need to kind of come back and revisit and work through drafts and that sort of thing, we do that. But if we shoot for that as a goal anyway, and then let's see how close we can get, that would be more than acceptable. And I'll probably, it's going to get a little tricky now with schedules and things, I imagine, but if we want to have one more conference call before then, can we try to work that out maybe later July or something like that?
Yeah, that would be fine with me, but I'm also wondering if we could push the day to at least the middle of September rather than the beginning.
Yeah, if you need that time, that's no problem. The key is really to try and do the very best we can with them, recognizing there's going to be drafts that are going to be going back and forth. There's going to be some editing involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, middle of September would be fine, too. I know Ken said something about that, too, because he's out of the country.
Right, exactly.
That's understandable.
So can we revise the date formally, then, so we don't feel like we're behind the eight ball?
Oh. I feel like a real taskmaster here. For those that can get it done by the beginning of September, that's great. If you need a couple more weeks and revise it for your group or any group, I'm comfortable with that. Don't worry, Aviva.
Okay, because I would like to have a conference with Ken and Kay
Absolutely.
Before we submit stuff.
Definitely. And again, feel free to be in touch with me if I can help in any way. I think I'm going to be around pretty much the rest of the summer, so let me know what I can do to help. And let's try to, whoever is around, maybe late part of July or early August, maybe we can do another conference call before school schedules get back.
Mm-hmm.
We should try to do it in July sometime. Just to touch base, this is very, very helpful. We had a really great, productive conference call today, I think. So I really appreciate it. I'm feeling really good about this. And you guys are just, doing great, great work. And great thinking. This is really important stuff.
Thanks for organizing this.
Yes, thank you, Sue.
Yeah, thanks, Sue, for being our taskmaster.
Gloria and I definitely need that, as you can tell. So.
How kind you've been, Kathy. Everybody have a great day.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.